This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
صحيح وسلم ما بعد اليوم 25 من شهر جمادى الأولى 1445 الموافق لتسعة من شهر ديسمبر 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك بلوغ المرام. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah we continue from where we stopped last 2 weeks ago, I guess. Yeah. So if you remember, we are still talking about Kitab al-Jihad. اليوم يكون آخر درس في كتاب الجهاد inshallah. So this today will be the last class in the book of Jihad, and then we move to the book of Jizya. It's also somehow related to it. And then we are done with this Mujallad. And then we move to Kitabu Al-At'imah. We're done with the Jihad, move to food. And so last time we talked about the hadith of Ummu Hani. قَدْ أَجَرْنَا مَنْ أَجَرْتِ يَا أُمَّ هَانِي. So today, inshallah, we move to the next hadith, which is the hadith of Umar. أنه سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا أخرجن اليهود والنصارى من جزيرة العرب حتى لا عداء إلا مسلما. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith of Umar رضي الله عنه, he said, I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that I will definitely take out of جزيرة العرب اليهود والنصارى. The Jews and the Christians, they have to leave this place. حتى لا أدع إلا مسلما, until there is nobody in this area except a Muslim. Yeah, that's necessary. Yeah, letting them, you can see what is going on, right? They come to our territory, and we accommodated them against what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and you see the way the problem is happening. And their agenda is to be in control of every Muslim that is in that place. Yeah. This is not something hidden. This is what they have been saying, you know, very openly. Yeah. This place is their territory and everyone has to leave. And inshallah, they will be leaving before everyone. بإذن الله عز وجل. وأخرج الشيخان من حديث عبد الله بن عباس أنه أوصى عند موته أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أوصى عند موته بثلاث أخرجوا المشركين من جزيرة العرب. وأخرج البيهقي. So Abdullah ibn Abbas said also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this hadith is found in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. He said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made a wasiyah in the last part of his life. Wasiyah, the last part of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. أخرجوا المشركين من جزيرة العرب. Take out of جزيرة العرب all of the مشركين. وأخرج البيهقي من حديث مالك عن ابن شهاب أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يجتمع دينان في جزيرة العرب. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said two religions shouldn't be combined in جزيرة العرب, Islam and something else, there can't be. قال مالك قال ابن شهاب فحص عمر أن ذلك حتى أتاه الثلج واليقين عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يجتمع دينان في جزيرة العرب فأجلى يهود خيبر. قال مالك وقد أجلى يهود نجران وفدك أيضا. So Umar check and see to verify this information until the time he has yaqeen, strong yaqeen, certainty that yes, this is the wasiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he wants to be so sure so that he can take action against the Jew living in جزيرة العرب, living in Khaybar in particular. So he was the one who took them out of Khaybar. After he confirmed that this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he told the Khaybar people to leave. Yeah. And also he took out also the Yahud that were living in Najran. Okay, Najran also he took them out. Wafadak, you know, these places. Umar radiallahu anhu also took the Yahud out of these places. والحديث دليل على وجوب إخراج اليهود والنصارى والمجوس من جزيرة العرب لأمومي قوله لا يجتمع دينان في جزيرة العرب. So the hadith is an evidence that shows that it is wajib upon the leaders to make sure that the Yahud and the Nasara and the Majus left our own territory, Jazirat al-Arab. Because the Prophet said, لَا يَجْتَمِعُ دِينَانِ فِي جَزِرَةِ الْعَرَبِ. There is no way for two religions to exist in Jazirat al-Arab. وَعَامُ لِكُلِّ دِينٍ وَالْمَجُوسُ بِخُصُوصِهِمْ حُكْمُ بِخُصُوصِهِمْ حُكْمُهُمْ حُكْمُ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ كَمَا عَرَفْتُ. So this is general. It includes any kafir. That area is not for them. Yeah, that area is not for them. The Prophet said they have to leave our territory. Yeah. So, and this includes also other kuffar, not only the Jews and the Christians. Yahud, al-Majus also they are included. Yeah, hukmu al-kitab. The hukm of the Yahud is the same hukm as ahlu al-kitab. Yeah, that is a hadith that says, sunnu bihim sunnat ahli al-kitab. When he was asked about Majus, he says, deal with them in the way you deal with ahlu al-kitab. قال وأما جزيرة العرب وأما حقيقة جزيرة العرب قال مجد الدين في القاموس جزيرة العرب ما أحاط به بحر الهند وبحر الشام ثم دجلة والفرات أو ما بين عدن أبين إلى أطراف الشام. Azim, I think you have to help. This thing doesn't want to continue. In the password or not? Thank you. So, what do we call Jazirat al-Arab? He says this is the area surrounding the Bahru al-Hind. Bahru al-Hind, this is the Indian Ocean, right? Or Bahru al-Sham. Bahru al-Sham. I don't know exactly which one is that. Thumma Dijla, Nahr Dijla in Iraq, wal Furat. So the area surrounding that place, this is what is called Jaziratu al-Arab. أو ما بين أبين, or from the Abyan is in Yemen, إلى أطراف الشام, until until Sham, you know, from Yemen to the Sham, that area is called Jaziratu al-Arab. وأضيفت إلى العرب لأنها كانت أوطانهم قبل الإسلام. So we call it Jaziratu al-Arab because these are the places of the Arab. وطنهم, وطن means the place where the Arabs live. Before Islam, this is their own territory. وَأَوْطَانِ أَسْلَافِهِمْ وَهِيَ تَحْتَ أَيْدِهِمْ. And this is their predecessors also used to live in that place. Okay, so Jazirat al-Arab, I think this is very known. وَقَالَ الشَّافِعِيُّ لَا أَعْلَمُ أَحَدًا أَجْلَى أَحَدًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الذِّمَّةِ مِنَ الْيَمَنِ وَقَدْ كَانَتْ لَهَا ذِمَّةِ وَلَيْسَ الْيَمَنُ بِحِجَازِ فلا يجليهم أحد من اليمن ولا بأس أن يصالحهم على مقامهم باليمن. So Imam Shafi says, I don't know anyone amongst the leaders, the authority who took out of Yemen the Ahl al-Dhimma. Yeah. So he says it's a place that is not included in the hukum. You know. So Al-Amir al-San'ani says, يعني لا يخفى أن الأحاديث الماضية فيها الأمر بإخراج من ذكر من الأديان من غير دين الإسلام من جزيرة العرب. والحجاز بعض جزيرة العرب. He says it's a mistake, you know, wrong approach from Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. He says because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said take them out of جزيرة العرب, and Hijaz is part of جزيرة العرب. If he says take them out of جزيرة العرب and Hijaz is part of جزيرة العرب, do you get it? Like if you say take them out of Gombak, UAE also part of Gombak, but then somebody says no, the one who lives in UAE shouldn't be taken out. It doesn't make sense because UI is part of the Gombak. If you say take them out of Gombak, UI also should be included. You get idea. Take them out of Malaysia, and then somebody says no, it's Selangor. Those ones should be kept. And then what happened to those umumat? General instruction by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, وورد في حديث أبي عبيدة الأمر بإخراج من الحجاز وهو بعض مسمى جزيرة العرب. والحكم على بعض مسمياتها حكم موافق للحكم عليها لا يعرض الحكم عليها كلها بذلك الحكم كما قرر في الأصول أن الحكم على بعض الأفراد العام لا يخصص العام وهذا نظيره وليس جزيرة العرب من ألفاظ العموم كما وَهِمَ فِيهِ جَمَعَةٌ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. So what Al-Amir al-San'ani is trying to say here is that approach of Imam Shafi'i is wrong, because if you look at the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is general. Take them out of Jazirat al-Arab. Jazirat al-Arab tashmalu al-Yaman, tashmalu al-Hijaz. He says Hijaz is part of Jazirat al-Arab. So if even if that is a takhsis, it doesn't mean that that arm is gone. So meaning they are not supposed to live in Jazirat al-Arab. This is the truth. Yeah, and this is the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars. That's why Al-Amir al-San'ani says, فَالْحَقُّ وُجُوبِ إِجْلَائِهِمْ مِنَ الْيَمَنِ لِوُضُوحِ دَلِيلِهِ. There are adilla that shows that, yes, even in Yemen, they are not supposed to stay. That's why Al-Amir al-San'ani says, the truth is that they have to leave Yemen also. They cannot stay in Yemen. لِوُضُوحِ دَلِيلِهِ. وَكَذَلِكَ الْقَوْلُ بِأَنَّ تَقْرِيرَهُمْ فِي الْيَمَنِ قَدْ صَارَ إِجْمَاعًا سُكُوتِيًا كَلَامٌ لَا يَنْهَوْ. There is somebody who says actually not taking them out of Yemen is silent ijma. Lamir al-San'ani says there is no evidence to support this ijma. Okay. So he said, in Jazirat al-Arab, nobody should remain amongst the kuffar in that place. They have to go, right? Unless if it is necessary, we don't have anyone to do their job and they come to do it and go out, then it's okay. That's why Nawawi says, قال العلماء رحمه الله لا يمنع الكفار من تردد من التردد مسافرين إلى الحجاز ولا يمكثون فيه أكثر من ثلاثة أيام. They want to come to Hijaz, they can only come to that place for the need, and it shouldn't exceed 3 days. Yeah, they can only stay for 3 days, and then they have to leave. So Imam Shafi says, ومن وافقه, Imam Shafi and some other scholars, إلا مكة. They come to Hijaz, any place in the Zirat in Hijaz, but not Makkah. إِلَّا مَكَّةَ. He says, even Medina. إِلَّا مَكَّةَ وَحَرَمَهَا. And the haram of Makkah, you know the haram, right? فَلَا جُزْ تَمْكِينُ كُفَّاءَ كَافِرٍ مِنْ دُخُولِهَا بِحَالٍ. He says, Makkah, no. Kafir cannot get inside Makkah, and the haram of Makki also. بِحَال. فَإِنْ دَخَالَ في خفية وجب إخراجه. If he get inside in secret, we have to take him out of it. فإن مات ودفن فيها نبشا. If he dies in that place and somebody buried him in the place, the grave have to be opened. We take him out of it. وأخرج ما لم يتغير. And he has to be taken out of the grave. ما لم يتغير. As long as the body doesn't change. If the body changed, then we leave him. مصلحة of إبقائهم is راجع مفسدتي المصلحة of إبقائهم راجع مفسدة إخراجه. قال فإن دخل خفية وجب إخراجه فإن مات ودفن فيه نبش وأخرج ما لم يتغير وحجته قوله تعالى. The دليل of Imam Shafi and anyone who is taking this opinion is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسُونَ. The mushrikeen, they are najis. Although according to the best opinion, this is najasa ma'nawiyya, laysat hissiyya. You don't need to wash your hand when you touch a kafir. Yeah. But there are some who say it's najasa hissiyya, a kuffar. I heard somebody says when they shake your hand, if you have a pen, bring it there. Give them the pen, they hold the pen, and if you touch them, your wudu is gone. No, that's not true. The najasa ma'nawiyya, because of the shirk they have. So this is the evidence. Najasun fala yaqrabu al-masjid al-haram ba'da amim hada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are not supposed to come closer to masjid al-haram after this year. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them not to come to masjid al-haram after this year. So it means even after they die, they have to be taken out of this. So Majus also, they are supposed to be treated in the same way. Is that clear, inshallah? قال وعنه أي أن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه قال كانت أموال بني النضير مما أفاء الله على رسوله مما لم يوجف عليه المسلمون بخيل ولا ركاب فكانت للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خاصة فكان ينفق على أهله نفقة سنة وما بقي يجعله في القراء والسلاح عدة في سبيل الله عز وجل. Abdullah ibn Umar said, كانت أموال بني النظير, the wealth of بني النظير, مما أفاء الله على رسوله, is part of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الفي, he will talk about fay, you know, fay is any wealth that the Muslim got when they fight an enemy without shedding any blood, any battle actually. They don't fight, you know. They went to fight the enemy, then the enemy ran away. Whatever wealth they get, we call it al-fay. If they happen to fight and then they defeat the enemy, whatever they get, we call it ghanima. Okay, this is the difference between ghanima and al-fay. Al-fay is the thing that you get from the enemy without any struggle, apart from going to the place. Ghanima is the money you get from the enemy after struggling and fighting and making a lot of effort to defeat them. Whatever you get is called ghanima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَفَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ فَلِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَىٰ وَالْيَتَامَىٰ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. Those al-fay is supposed to be divided according to the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed in Surah Al-Hashr. Al-Ghanima, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلِمُوا أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمُسَهُ. Whatever you get as a ghanima, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes 1/5 of it. وَلِلْرَسُولِ سُوْ Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ذِي الْقُرْبَىٰ وَالْيَتَامَىٰ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. So those we take 1/5, the rest of the 4 should be distributed amongst the mujahideen. You get it? We give the one who is walking 1 sahab, and the one who is riding a horse, we give him how many? 3, if 2 for his horse and 1 for him. One for himself. So why? Because they are more effective in fighting than the one who is walking. So who is Bani Nadir? You know, Medina كانت كان يسكنها العرب الأصليين. Originally, there's a place of the Arabs. The Jews, they migrated to the place out of the hope that the final prophet also will be from them. Because they know from their book that the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be migrating to that place, Medina. These guys, they study, you know. They study. You know precisely this is the intended place. So they came to Medina, they stay. So you have around 3 tribes there. Banu Nadir, Banu Qaynaqa, and Banu Qurayza. The last people to leave the place are Banu Qurayza. Those one, when they leave the place, they left it to where? To Jahim. Jahim. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam killed 700 of them. And they refused to accept Islam. And this is after the Battle of Ahzab, when they plotted against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They broke the promise and they fought him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to take action. They left. Banu Qaynaqa, those were the ones that disrespected one of the Muslim sisters, and it caused them to leave the place, never to return. That's when Islam is Aziz. Yeah. Banu Nadir, these are the last one. These ones, قَالَ كَانَتْ بَنُ النَّذِيرِ قَبِيلَ كَبِيرًا مِنَ الْيَهُودِ وَادَعَهُمُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَعْدَ قُدُومِهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ عَلَى أَلَّا يُحَارِبُوا وَأَنْ لَا يُعِينُوا عَلَيْهِ عَدُوَهُ فَكَانَتْ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَنَخِيلُهُمْ وَمَنَازِلُهُمْ بِنَاحِيَةِ الْمَدِينَةِ فَنَكَثُوا الْعَهْدَ وَسَارَ مَعَهُمْ كَعْبُ بْنُ الْأَشْرَفِ 40 رَاكِبًا إِلَى قُرَيْشٍ فَحَالَفَهُمْ وكان ذلك على رأس 6 أشهر من واقعة بدر كما ذكره الزهري. He says, Banu Nadir, this is a qabila from the Yahud, a tribe from the Yahud. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam signed a treaty with them, an agreement that, okay, it happens that we are going to live with you in Medina, and therefore it doesn't make sense. We fight you, you fight us, and we are living together. So let's sign an agreement. We don't fight you, you don't fight us. Yeah, we don't support enemy against you, you don't support an enemy against us. What do you think about that? Excellent peace, right? Who shouldn't agree with this other than the Majnun? They said no problem. They signed. They are both responsible to protect Medina. Muslim cannot fight them, and they cannot fight the Muslim. And both will live peacefully. Their right is well protected. Nobody should harm them just because this is a Muslim territory. Yeah. However, this is a Jew. A Jew cannot keep a promise. He can't. The promise between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was broken. You think they keep the one between them and human beings? Never. So, the Prophet signed an agreement that they shouldn't fight him and he shouldn't fight them. But unfortunately, they broke this promise. And Ka'b ibn Ashraf, one of the leaders of the Jew, also was with them. And he took around 40 amongst them, ila Quraysh fa halafahum. He went and signed an agreement with Quraysh. Yeah. You know, this is a total, you know, breach of that agreement with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the enemy number one against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Quraysh. Right? Enemy number one is Quraysh. So they went and they signed a treaty with Quraysh. For what? Of course, against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just now you agree with him that you don't fight him. But they don't care. So they did that 6 months after the Battle of Badr, according to Zuhri. But Ibn Ishaq says that أَنَّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ بَعْدَ وَقَعَةِ أُحُدٍ وَبِئْرٍ مَعُونَ. Ibn Ishaq says, no, this is wrong. That happened after the Battle of Uhud. You know, Battle of Uhud take a year later after the Battle of Badr. Yeah, he says it happens after the Battle of Uhud and after the Battle of Bi'r Ma'una, actually, where those companions of the Prophet ﷺ were killed. If you remember some of the features of Bi'r Ma'una, Rasulullah ﷺ, somebody came and he begged him to send a group of people to go and preach Islam to his tribe. He promised the Prophet ﷺ these people shouldn't be touched, and they are Qurra, they memorize Quran, you know. And subhanAllah, when they reached those people, this man couldn't protect them. He couldn't protect them. He tried his best, but he couldn't. And the people killed them. The Prophet ﷺ got really annoyed. Yeah, he got really annoyed. So one of these people, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, escaped the punishment. One of them escaped the punishment. I mean, the death. He ran away. وَخَرَجَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَسْتَعِينُهُمْ فِدِيَةُ رَجُلَيْنِ قَتَلَهُمَا عَمْرُ بِنْ عُمَيَّ الضُّمَيْرِ. This person that escaped, that tribe who killed all of his friends, his name is Amr ibn Umayyah al-Dhumayri, min Bani Amir, from the tribe of Amir. Okay, so he ran away from those kuffar after killing all of his brothers. وَقَدْ أَمَّنَهُمَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَلَمْ يَشْعُرَ عَمْرٌ بِذَلِكَ. So Amr, he was on the way. Then he met two brothers from the tribe of those people who killed his friend just now. He met these two guys coming back from Medina. He recognized them. Oh, these are from this tribe. They just killed my friend. And I also escaped the Ujuba. So what did he do? He has his own weapon. He got them, both of them, and he killed them. Not knowing that these two brothers, they just signed an agreement with the Prophet ﷺ that they will never fight him. He doesn't fight them and they will not fight. See the mushkila, right? They just signed an agreement. But he doesn't know. Because his people, their people just killed his brothers just now. So he thought that these guys also are with them, you know. So he killed them all. When he killed them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was really affected by that. But he understands his condition at the same time, but he's really, really affected by that. So he said, we have to pay the diyah to them. We have to pay the diyah. Look at Islam, you know. So Allah said, Allah, so la tazir wazilatun wizra ukhra. Although, yeah, his people kill my companion, but these two guys are not the one who killed. He says, we have to pay the diyah, the blood money. But then he doesn't have the money. So what did he do? He went, he realized that, oh, this tribe, they have an agreement, alliance with the Jews of Bani Nadir. These ones. He said, since they are friends, let me go and ask them. Maybe they can help to settle the blood money. Right? We have an agreement with them. They are supporting us. We will go and tell them what exactly happened. Maybe since those guys are their friends, they can support. They have the money. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out to Bani An-Nadir. You know, he's looking for the support from them. فجلس النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى جنب جدار لهم فتمالوا على إنقاء صخرة. He talked to them about what happened. Banu Nadir, the Jew, they told him, don't worry. Let us just go and discuss. Just wait for us here. We will come back with our final decision, whether to support or not to do. So the Prophet ﷺ was sitting next to the wall. So while they are meeting, actually the meeting was about how to kill him. They said, he came to you now, to your own territory. That's the best chance for you to get rid of him. You see the Jew? They said, now he's in your territory. That's the best time for you to get rid of him. فَتَمَالَوْا So عَلَىٰ إِلْقَاءِ سَخْرَةٍ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ فَوْقِ ذَلِكَ الْجِدَعُ Since he was leaning to the wall, they sent somebody. Now the command is somebody should go on top from behind and take a very heavy rock and hit the head of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم with it. وَالْيَذُ بِاللَّهِ قال فقام بذلك أمر بن جحاش بن كعب فأتاه الخبر من السماء. So the Jew, the Jewish man who was responsible to do this, his name is Amr bin Jihash ibn Ka'b. فأتاه الخبر من السماء فقام مظهرا أنه يقضي حاجة وقال لأصحابه لا تبرحوا ورجع مسرعا إلى المدينة. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received an information from the sama, heavens. Wahai came to him immediately about what they're planning to do. Allah commanded him to leave the place immediately. SubhanAllah, Allah wants the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to live a normal life. He can just send something. He can tell the rock, don't come. Just go back to the one who sent you. Yeah. Allah can do all of these things. But he wants life to be as normal as possible. Right? Nobody will come and say, no, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has superpower and give him the qualities of Allah, which they do also. They do. Until now, if you tell some people that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dead, they don't agree with it. They don't agree. Which is an accusation against the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if you say he is not dead, what does that mean? They buried him alive, you know. That would be the biggest jarima. And if they bury a simple person, that would be a big sin. What do you think of burying Rasulullah? Not just normal Rasul, even Rasulullah alive. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to be respected, but we shouldn't take him beyond his capacity. He's not Allah. Yeah, there are some people who give him the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the one that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought, he himself. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed by Allah about the plot. So he stood up as if he has something in Medina. He said, please just wait for me for a while, I will come back to you. Just wait for me here. He told the companions. So he went back quickly to Medina. فَاسْتَبْطَأَهُ أَصْحَابُهُ فَأُخْبِرُوا أَنَّهُ رَجَعَ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَلَاحِقُوا بِهِ فَأَمَرَ بِحَرْبِهِمْ وَالْمَسِيرِ إِلَيْهِمْ فَتَحَصَّنُوا فَأَمَرَ بِقَطْعِ النَّخِيلِ وَالتَّحْرِيكِ وَخَاصَرَهُمْ حَاصَرَهُمْ سِتَّةَ لَيَالٍ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم went to Medina. So he delayed. He did not come back early. Yeah, the companions who were there in Banu Nadir, فَاسْتَبْطَأُوهُ. You know, they were waiting for him. And he didn't, istibta' means they kept on waiting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam delayed to come. So they don't know what happened. So they started asking, where did he go? So they were informed that actually he went to Medina. So they left the place also, back to Medina. They left the place back to Medina. You know, and they went and they found the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam preparing for war. Yeah, so he came to them with his men and they besieged the place completely. You know, Hasarahum, and that happened for 6 days. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam controlled the area, no in, no out. وَكَانَ أُنَاسٌ مِنَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ بَعْثُوا إلَيْهِمْ أَنْ يُثْبُتُوا وَتَمَنَّوا فَإِنْ قُتِلْتُمْ قَاتَلْنَا مَعَكُمْ لَئِنْ خُرِجُوا Allah subhanahu wa taala says, وَلَئِنْ قُتِلْتُمْ لَنَنْصُرَنَّكُمْ. The Munafiqun sent a letter to them because they were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They see the preparation, and that's why Munafiqin is the most dangerous person. You know. Because how can you stay away from him? He is with you. He said he is a Muslim. But is none other than the worst type of kuffar and enemies. And he is with you. And you can't tell him go. If you tell him go also, he suspects something that's going to happen. He can send a message to everyone. Yeah, so you have to be very careful dealing with them. So when they realize that the Prophet ﷺ is going to Nadir, they quickly send somebody, tell him Banu Nadir, remain stable. We promise that if Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to fight you, we're going to fight with you. If you are taken out of the place, also we will go out with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَإِنْ أُخْرِجُوا لَا أَخْرِجُونَ مَعُوا. If they are to be taken out of the place, they will never go out with them. وَلَنْ قُوتِلُوا لَيَنْصُرُونَهُمْ. If they are to be fought, they will never fight with them. These are munafiqi. If the fighting happens, they will never fight with them. وَلَنْ نَصَرُوهُمْ لَيُوَلُّنَّ الْأَدْبَارَ ثُمَّ لَا يُنْصَرُونَ. If they are to support them, actually it's also useless, because they will run away. When they see the reality, they will run away and leave them. And that's exactly what happened. So the Prophet ﷺ went and he besieged the place for 6 days, and the munafiqun told them not to get scared. We are with you. فَتَرَبَّصُوا فَقَذَفَ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبَ. So the Prophet ﷺ, for 6 days, since they don't want to come out, they don't want to reconcile, they don't want to apologize, they don't want to do anything, Rasulullah ﷺ started cutting their nakhl, their palm tree, their tree. Those people, they believe in dunya. When they see their farms started to be destroyed by the Muslimin, yeah, they got scared. Yeah, now they started talking about sulh. قَالَ فَقَذَفَ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبَ. Allah SWT put strong fear in their heart. فَلَمْ يَنْصُرُوهُ. So the munafiqeen were not able to support. They also see the situation. They know that, yes, this is not their battle. So they withdraw that statement. فَسَأَلُوا أَنْ يُجْلُوا عَنْ أَرْضِهِمْ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ لَهُمْ مَحَمَلَةِ الْإِبْلِ فَصُولِهُ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا الْحَلَقَةِ. So they ask if it is possible to leave the place. And this is actually based on the influence of the munafiqeen. They press the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he agrees. Otherwise, the plan is to cut them off completely. Yeah, I wish it happens, you know. Yeah, otherwise, the alhamdulillah could have reduced some. Yeah. The world will be more peaceful than the way it is, you know. So the munafiqun begged the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they pressed so much, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed to expel them from the place. And they can only carry what a camel can carry, of food and whatever in that city. إِلَّا الْحَلَقَ, except weapon. The weapons the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they cannot carry a weapon. They have to leave it in Medina. فَخَرَجُوا إِلَىٰ أَذْرِعَاتٍ. So they moved to a place called أَذْرِعَاتٍ. This is بَلَدٍ فِي أَطْرَفِ الشَّامِ. This is a city at the edge of Sham, بجوار أرض البلقاء وعمان, closer to بلقاء and عمان or Amman, the Urdun. قال فخرجوا إلى أذرعات وأريحاء من الشام. So they moved towards Sham. Okay, they moved towards Sham. وآخرون إلى الحيرة. Some of them they moved to حيرة. ولحق آل الحقيق وآل حيي بن أخطب بخيبر. And the family of الحقيق, Abu al-Haqiq, the family of Abu al-Haqiq, وآل حيي ابن أخطب, these are leaders of the Jew, top criminals among the Jew. كانوا أول من أجل, so they moved to Khaybar. وكانوا أول من أجل من اليهود, and these are the first people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took out of Medina from the Jew. The second one were those who were taken out of Khaybar by Umar radiallahu anhu. So these are Banu Nadir. Yeah, this is about another. So that you can understand what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what Abdullah ibn Umar was talking about in that hadith, when he says, "Kanat amwal bani Nadir mimma afa Allahu ala Rasulih." Because you see, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not fight them, right? Yeah, they agreed to leave the place. Mimma lam yujif alayhi al-Muslimun bi khaylin wala rikabin, faqam al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam khassatan. So the Prophet sallallahu, fakanat lil Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam khassa. So Muslimun did not put any effort to get it. They don't put effort with the horses or any ride or any fighting. They do not do anything. قَالَ فَكَانَتْ لِلْنَبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَاصَّةً. So that one was given to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم alone by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَكَانَ يِنْفِقُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ نَفَقَةَ سَنَةٍ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to feed his family from that blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him for a year. وَمَا بَقِيَ يَجْعَلُهُ فِي الْكُرَاءِ وَالسِّلَاحِ. Whatever left, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to put it in the weapons, yeah, preparation for the next battle. So this is al-fay. So al-fay, we don't deal with it in the way we deal with the ghanima, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَلِتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ كَيْ لَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ مِنْكُمْ. قال وفيه جواز وفيه دلالة على جواز ادخار قوت سنة وأنه لا ينفي التوكل. And he says from this we learn that it is halal for you to keep food for 1 year for your family. And this doesn't go against the tawakkul. Somebody will say, no, if you are to keep food for 1 year, what happened to the tawakkul? You have to do tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that food will come in the future. Yeah. So understanding the deen is really good, you know. Where is tawakkul? How do you practice tawakkul? With which part of you? Which part of your limbs is doing tawakkul? The heart. Yeah. Is amal qalbi. You get the idea. The reaction, reflection, translation can appear outside. Yeah. Is amal qalbi. You can have as big as this dunya. This is your wealth. And you keep it for 10 years, 20 years, 3 years. You make a plan for the rest of your life. Does that mean you don't have tawakkul in Allah? No. No. Somebody might stay without the money he spent, but his tawakkul also is little. You might be having more tawakkul than him. Tawakkul means to believe that the one who is the causer of the things to happen is Allah. And only if he agrees, only if he wants, only if he approves, then you can get whatever you are getting. And your risk is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide for you. This money that you keep for 1 year, is it possible for it to be burned? Yes, you might lose it. You know, the whole thing might be gone. So tawakkul means you depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a provider. But at the same time, ittikhadu as-sabab. Yeah? The wrong tawakkul that people have is that he doesn't work. He say he wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send down rain of gold and things. You know? No, you have to look for it. Yeah. Tawakkul means you depend on Allah, but you use the asbab. You become very productive and hardworking to earn for yourself. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to work for himself. That's participation in jihad and all of these things. He says, "Ju'ila rizqi tahta dhillu rumhi." Allah placed my risk under the shade of my sword. Prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take from that which they earned by themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can provide for Maryam alayhi salam. He can give her the tamr and the rutab and everything, right? Without any effort. But he told her, go to that halfly tree, the tree that was cut, you know. He says, shake it. Don't forget, she just delivered, right? When the woman delivers a child, she's very strong, can fight, can do things, and that's in the past. In the past, we're told that a woman will give birth in the farm. She's working in the farm, give birth and wash the child and bring him back home. Just like that. As for the Coca-Cola generation, artificial life. Yeah. Artificial life. I'm not saying we should go back to the life of the village. No, but be moderate in your consumption of artificial things. Yeah, because you're making your body weak. Live a very normal life. Inshallah, you will enjoy it. Strength and power and ability. Those people, they live longer time and they're still strong. For us, when you reach 40, 50, you know, mashallah, ajus. In those places, up to date. You know, before we contaminated their places, up to date. Person might reach 100 plus, but still strong. So she just delivered a child. She's weak. But still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told her, go and shake the thing. She went and she shook it and the root of comes. Scholar says, subhanAllah, Allah wants people to live a normal life. Go and look for it. Then just sit down and say, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring. Yeah, he can do. But Allah doesn't want it to happen, you know. Who sent the wind and the tornado and all of these hurricanes? Who's sending them? Rabbul Alameen, right? He did not do that with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the Battle of Badr. He asked him to do it by himself. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a piece of sand with his hand and he threw it to them. He said, Shahatil wujuh. May Allah curse the faces. They were around 1,000 soldiers, right? There was nobody among them except that there is a sand in his eyes. And how big is the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is a normal hand, right? when he threw, you know, how much he can affect. This is 1,000, don't forget, not 10 people. 1,000. But every one of them has dust in his inside his eyes. He did the sabab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fa'ala sabab. Allah make it in the way nobody expect. Allah says, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. When you threw the sand, actually Allah is the one who's throwing. Allah wants the Prophet ﷺ to do something for us. You get it? This is who we are. So tawakkul means to depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to use the sabab. Stand up and go and work. Don't say that, yeah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it, I will get it. You will not get it. Yeah. Because Allah wants you to get it, but He has the way He prescribed for you to be following, for you to get that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to get. وأجمع العلماء على جواز الادخار ما لم يستغله الإنسان يستغله الإنسان من أرضه وأما إذا أراد أن يشتريه من السوق ويدخره فإن كان في وقت أو ذيك الطعام لم يجوز بل يشتري ما لا يحصل به ضيق على المسلمين كقوت أيام أو شهر وإن كان في وقت ساعة اشترى قوت السنة وهذا التفصيل نقله القاضي إياد عن أكثر العلماء. So is a controversial matter concerning you keeping the food if there is difficulty in the city. Say people are suffering. Can you keep, buy and keep for a year? Some said yes, some said no because of the situation. But generally, you do have a right to buy food to keep for a year. The Prophet ﷺ used to do that. You get the idea. To save it for your future need. And it doesn't go against the tawakkul. قال وعن معاذ بن جبل قال غزونا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خيبر فأصبنا فيها غنما فقسم فينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طائفة فجعل بقيتها في المغنم. عبد الله بن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه said we fought with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم we fought with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم خيبر and فَأَصَبْنَا فِيهَا غَنَمًا and we got a lot of sheep in that place. فَقَسَمَ فِينَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ طَائِفَةً so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave us some part of it وَجَعَلَ بَقِيَتَهَا فِي الْمَغْنَمِ so the rest of the sheep, he gave us some. This is the tamfil. You remember the ziyada on top of what a person should be getting? Last time we talked about this a lot, right? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave them this and also the rest, he put it in the ghanima, which is going to be distributed amongst them also. وأن أبي رافع قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إني لا أخيس بالعهد ولا أحبس الرسول. سبحان الله. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said لا أخيس بالعهد. I don't break a promise. Never broke a treaty and a promise. Never. ولا أحبس الرسول. And a messenger, I don't stop them. Yeah. That's why according to the law, even in the past, الرسول لا تقتل. Messengers cannot be killed. Yeah, because these are the link between two enemies, right? And that's why even up to date, when a country wants to tell that other country that no relationship between us, they bring back their ambassador to their country, or they send him out. When they send him out of their country, what does that mean? Yeah, you should be ready to receive anything from us. No good relationship between us. Even in the past, it was like that. And that's why when they killed an ambassador of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was the cause of the battle of Mu'tah. Yeah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what is this? If we start killing the Rusul, then how do we reconcile them? I'm your enemy, you are my enemy. We need somebody who is going to be a middleman. That person shouldn't be touched by anyone. I shouldn't touch yours, you shouldn't touch mine. Yeah, those people, they have to live in peace wherever they go. That's why in any place, when an ambassador is killed, is killed, what does that mean? It means that country is waging war against the other one. You don't need to tell them we are going to fight you. Right. Up to date, yeah, is a kind of a war, announcement of a war between you and that country. Yeah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I don't break a promise. I don't betray an agreement. And also at the same time, I don't keep rusul. even to keep, not to even to keep him with me, I don't. I will just tell him my message. He should go back and tell them. That's it. I will not keep him. Because when you keep him, what does that mean? You're inviting those people to come and get him by force, right? And threatening them also as well. The Prophet ﷺ said no. Rusul have to be in full freedom to go wherever they want to go. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أيما قرية أتيتماها فأقمتم فيها فسهمكم فيها وأيما قرية عصت الله ورسوله فإن خمسها لله ورسوله ثم هي لكم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith, which is the last hadith under the Kitab al-Jihad, قال not the last hadith, under the last under this topic, Babu al-Jihad, Kitab al-Jihad. And then we will move to Babu al-Jizyat wal-Hudna, also under the Kitab al-Jihad. قَالَ أَيُّمَا قَرِيْتٍ أَتَيْتُمُوهَا فَأَقَمْتُمْ فِيهَا فَسَهَمُكُمْ فِيهَا. Whatever country you go, you go, and then you manage to defeat those people without any fighting, any battle. You also participate in whatever you receive from that country, together with the fuqara and the masakeen, if you qualify that. وَأَيُّمَا قَرِيَةٍ عَصَتِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ خُمُسَهَا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ هِيَ لَكُمْ. And any country that you go to fight, and they do not want to submit, so you have to fight them physically. The Prophet ﷺ said the khumus of that city is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thumma hiya lakum, and the balance is for you. We take the khumus and give it to those mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal, and the rest is for the combatants. So all of these ones, we have already mentioned them in the past. So as I said, inshallah, in the next class we'll be dealing with what do you call the Kitab al-Jizya, and then Kitab al-Sibaq, racing and archery, and then Kitab al-Atayma, inshallah. May Allah grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Jazakumullah khairan. Question? No question. Okay, alhamdulillah. You forgot. He's going to ask.
Some of the people who, have this extremism in tolerance, they would say that, Islam promotes, peaceful rule, at-ta'ayush wa tasamu, because in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Jews lived in Medina, and when he died, his shield was marhuna with the Jews.
Yehud,
So they say, look, this is tolerance, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then the hadith said, "Lukhrijanna al-Yahuda wal-Nasara." So how can we understand both of the hadith?
Well, the best is to drag him by force to go to school. Iwallah. The best, this person who is talking like this, to drag him to go to school. He need to be in the school to learn, to read the history properly. Then he will understand why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not leave. He signed an agreement with them. Nobody amongst them was able to keep that treaty. Except those Afarad, those few who lived inside Medina. Yeah, they're living inside with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not segregated from Medina, living in their own territories. Because when Nadir, they have their own place. Qurayza, they have their own place. Qaynuqa, they have their own place. But there are some who are living next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah. Those ones, some of them might go with their people, and some of them will agree to live with the Muslims in peace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Laysu sawa'a. Those ones, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam keep that good relationship with them. Better than what they can expect. They do the mockery, they mock the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they do whatever they want to do, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leave them. As for the criminals who fought Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the history of the Jew with the Muslims was tragedy. Whenever they get chance, they have to get rid of the Muslims. So if you go to the history, who is always causing trouble? Not us, they caused the trouble. Why do we live them with us. If they don't want to live in peace, you know, tell me which country will agree with the troublemaker to live with. Even now, no matter how much kuffar they are, talking about the freedom, it's only applicable on us. Yeah. Go and check the history, up to date. You see the treatment, you know, that we have towards them was excellent. And the treatment they have towards us is the worst type of treatment. Yeah. So why do we leave them in our place? Why? That's why I said that guy should go and, honestly speaking, these type of people, they need to go to school and learn Islam correctly. Don't pick up Islam from their brain and interpret it in their own way, because this is what they're doing. Otherwise, if they read the history, they might say that the Prophet ﷺ did not do the correct thing. He's supposed to be harsher than this. Yeah. Look at what they're doing now. It's an example of who the Jew were from day one. Yeah. In Medina, they got one of the girls. One of them just came, a young girl, young girl, you know. And he put her on a rock, you know, and he took a rock and smashed the head. Just like that. What did she do? Nothing. They call him and they ask him, are you the one who did it? He said, yes. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also treat him in the same way. These are the Jews. Whenever they have chance, nobody should live. Yeah. And alhamdulillah, nowadays, if those guys that you're talking about, they should listen to what they are saying nowadays. That others are none other than haywanat, and nobody should remain except them. They have to get rid of everyone. Yeah, even yesterday also I was listening to one of them saying this. This is what is in their book. That they have to kill everyone. Yeah. So why would somebody think in this way? And these are the Muslims, unfortunately. You have to live in the state of peace, you know. These people, they have to do this and that. Not looking at that other side. Always blaming their brothers wherever they are. And who is suffering? The Muslims. They create all of these things which they call terrorists and all of these things. They put them in our own territories. Who is suffering from this terrorism they're calling? Look properly. The Muslims are suffering. Not them. Muslims are suffering. You Allah. Muslims are suffering more. Okay? Which country of that country, apart from the Ukraine, which one is in war? None. But look at us. Syria, Iraq, Yemen, what else? Sudan, Libya, what else? Palestine is all the time, you know. And some other countries also, from the statement you might be hearing from those guys, you have doubt, what exactly are they planning against them? But still you have people who are not thinking properly and think that, yes, these are the people that you can cooperate with. You say on your face that this is not your place and you have to leave, and you're still dancing, telling them, yeah, you are friends. Unfortunately.
The Prophet had his shield with him. They said the Prophet died while his shield was with him.
Yeah, because he was a business person.
So is it Mansur?
No, he was a business guy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bought food from him, but he doesn't have the money. So he gave him the shield. It wasn't like, keep the shield for me. No, Rasulullah wants food and he sells food. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him. So since this is a Jew, he doesn't trust him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him his shield. Keep the shield. If I find the payment, I will pay it. If I don't find the shield, it was you just sell it and take your money. If I have balance, return it back to my family.
So that you still have to go?
Which one?
The Jew that...
No, this one, that's why I told you, this one I live in with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They don't have a specific territory. Oh. They get it. Up to the last minute, the Jews are there in Medina with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sent Banu Qurayza, sent Banu Qurayza to hell, sent Banu Qaynuqa outside, sent Banu Nadir also outside. But those who are living in Medina itself, you know, I mean with the Muslim community, not isolating themselves to live alone in a place, those ones are still there, even after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even during time of the Khulafa al-Rashid, they were all there. Did Umar radiallahu anhu, and he's talking about this, maybe afterwards, if the still balance of them is there, maybe during the Khulafa al-Rashidin, especially in the time of Umar, they took them out of the place. I don't have any evidence that those who were with the Muslims there, they were chased out of the place, if they do exist. Because if they exist, they're very few. Yahud doesn't want to be with the Muslim. They want to be in their own place because they feel insecure. Yeah, because they cannot live without trouble. So the only place they can go and cause all the troubles is within their own people. They can do whatever they want. Yeah. They cannot live with others peacefully. Mm. Allah guide them. Imagine. We stop? One question? Okay. Only that one.
The question from a sister. Following the Hanafi opinion, a sister got married without the permission of her father. After 2 years, she became aware of the other opinions in this matter. Her family is still uninformed about her marriage. Is this valid or not?
The marriage was done based on their belief that it is okay, right? Which the Hanafi themselves also don't agree with this opinion these days. They are the harshest people in terms of looking for the mahari. I'm sorry, the wali. But according to the madhab, it's halal. But practically, they're very harsh. The sister can lose her life if she marries without the izin of the father. And he's Hanafi. You get it? Yeah. She might find an easy life with the Shafi and the Maliki and the Hanbali, but with the Ahnaf, they're very serious on this matter. Yeah. And alhamdulillah, they are serious on this matter. Because this is the correct opinion. Yeah. So if they did the marriage not knowing that this opinion is wrong, very wrong actually, then that was the nikah shubha. Every child they have is not Ibn Zina. You get it? Because they built that marriage upon their knowledge, which they believe is correct. You get it? Yeah. But right after that, the marriage has to be fixed. They have to cut. And they do it again. They must redo it again. Yeah. For that, yeah, if let's say they're just going to renew it, I don't have any evidence to if the husband is the one who, because that marriage is marriage of Shubha. Yeah, I don't have any evidence to say that she has to stay for the Iddah first and then they can remarry again, right? Yeah, because they just rearrange the marriage, yeah. Even if she does the iddah, it shouldn't exceed just one height. Wait for her to have a height to make sure that there is no pregnancy at all. Because the children will be his children, actually. Because Aulad Shubha, those children that were born based on Shubha, they are the children of the person. They are not children of Zina. Yeah, they are the children of that person. Legally, they can inherit him also. Because they believe that marriage is halal. Yeah, they believe that marriage is halal.
Follow-up questions, but we take it to
the next one. Is it long?
It's two questions.
Okay. Two questions. Okay. Actually, want us to go and make some arrangement. At least we arrange the things before we pray. Okay, no problem.
First question is,
does she need to inform her father that she had a previous relationship with this person before marrying him again?
If the father knows, what is he going to do? I'm scared. He will take action against him and her. So in some places, they kill, you know. She need to be very careful. If they already repented and they make tawbah, she shouldn't tell anyone. That page is closed. Yeah, let them just marry and that's it. Sure.
She's having troubles in this relationship.
If she decides to end it, does she need to inform her next husband about this?
Which relationship? The wrong one?
The current one.
Yeah, the current one. Yeah. Which is marriage without the wali.
Yeah.
That marriage is batil, actually. It doesn't exist. Yeah, she has to stay away from him immediately, with immediate effect. Yeah. I receive a case here in this place from two people from in Pakistan, and subhanAllah. Very, very, very disturbing. It takes me 4 hours to convince the husband that this marriage is wrong. I even told him, yeah, according to the law here, because he realized that he doesn't want to listen. And the reason why they come to me, somebody sent them from Nilai. Yeah, go to this person, maybe he can help you. They're having problem in the marriage. I mean, so-called marriage. Then they came to me for this. I realized that I know the girl. I taught her when she was young in secondary school. I said, oh, why do you, how do you get together? And then she told me that, and this is because, I mean, they went to somebody who did the marriage for them without the wali. Nobody knows about that marriage except her and her sister. The family, entirely none of them knows. So it took long periods of time to convince him that this marriage is haram. I had to threaten him, telling him that according to the authority here, this marriage is illegal. And you have to cut it off. And she also doesn't want to agree. They just want me to tell them how to fix the problem. I said, I cannot fix what doesn't exist at the first. We have to fix it first, and then we have to let it exist first, and then we fix it. And it's a message to the parent also to be very careful, because sometimes you will put all of this restriction, you know. As I know in that house, I know through her older sister in that house, there is no way for them to decide who they want to marry. Family have to make a decision for them. They might lose their life if they are to decide. Yeah.
Sheikh, you said in your podcast with Muhammad Zahid.
When is that?
In the case that the father is rejected.
I have to be very careful in what I said, you know, that everything has been memorized. Huh?
You said that if the wali is rejecting marriages left and right, and all it's right. impossible, that yeah. the sister can bypass the wali.
Definitely. She can do that. If the wali is rejecting the marriage, 100% she can go to the king, to the minister, anyone who is in charge of that city, and tell him about the case, and they can arrange the marriage, and this is legal, 100%. But the Hanafis are not talking about this situation. They're talking about initially a sister does not need to contact the wali. She can just skip him and go and do the marriage herself without even informing him. That's haram. The Prophet said, "Ayyuma imra'atin nakahat bidun idhni waliha fanikahuha batil batil batil." Any woman that married without the permission of the wali, the marriage is batil batil batil. Yeah. But if all the awliya says no, the Prophet said, "Fa inish chajaru fa sultan waliyyu man la waliya lah." If all of them disagree, then the sultan is the wali. She goes to the sultan and she's not disobeying the parent. The parents have to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually, because they don't have a right to deprive her from marrying. Yeah. So the sultan has to see this person, does he qualify? Is he a good person? If it is good, then the sultan will just arrange the marriage. However, if she is to ask me, should I go for this? I would tell her, no, don't. Try, please your parent. Don't accept what they want. But at the same time, try to keep on being patient. Bring somebody who they will accept, inshallah. But sometimes that person might die, then she cannot go back to the family because they disown her. And she will be wandering around, you know. She gets into trouble. So although this is her right to go to the king, yeah, but some of the families are really wicked. Because how can I tell my daughter I disown you? But they do. Yeah, they do. So a woman should be very careful. Yeah. Subhanakallahumma. That's Qati'atul Rahim, definitely. It's actually useless. How can I disown my child? How? How can I tell him you're not my son? Okay, do you get the idea? You're not my friend anymore, it's okay, yeah, that one can happen. But the person who comes from you, part of you, how can you disown him? Yeah, that's in Islamic country. If she's living in the non-Muslim countries, if any authority amongst the Muslims, if there's anyone who is recognized by the authority there to talk on behalf of the Muslims, they say the imam in the masjid. But go to what? Just do the... if the authority assigned them to do that, then they're fine. Yeah, if these are the ones who are recognized by the authority, yeah, because not everyone will go to the king or the prime minister. They have no time for this, even the minister. No. But they have people who are permitted to arrange marriage on behalf of the authority. Yeah, if they go to those ones can arrange the marriage. Yeah, like the qadi. Yeah, in some places they go to the court. Yeah, that's very strong, actually, much stronger than all of these other people, because court can break the marriage. And it is gone. Qadi can do that. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.